Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That's it! The Nittany Lions have done it! They have knocked off fourth-ranked Michigan, and they storm the floor at the George Center, and justifiably so. Number four is gone.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 1-800-609-9484. You can go online to REWfinancial.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsters General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsters General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. You can always go to www.hilstersstore.com. Guy that's in his second year as an analyst for ESPN on college basketball, and I thought was really good last year, but is even better this year because I think he has a slightly different tone at times, is Dan Dockich. He will tell you things that are happening on the floor. He sees things away from the ball. He'll pick out unsung players that are making a difference in the game because he sees the game differently than other analysts, and he'll anticipate just a bit for you as time goes along. He has definite opinions about players. He has definite opinions about the state of the game today and also about the NCAA tournament coming up. He's done a lot of work on the Big Ten this year. In fact, he did the Minnesota-Indiana game with Mike Tirico on Tuesday night at Williams Arena. Coming up tomorrow, we'll continue our college basketball look with Mike DeCourcy from BTN and the Sporting News. We'll also have Audrey Snyder on from the Harrisburg Patriot News to discuss the Combine. But today it's going to be Dan Dockich of ESPN joining us on the show.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with black interior under 7,000 miles, lowest price promise, $79.99. A 2006 Lincoln LS four-door V8 sports sedan, just $12,455. Ford F-150 regular cab, $17,999. A 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS, just $15,943. And a beautiful 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1, just $16,997. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. 888-536-8017.
Fouls it. Penn State has it. He is fouled by Morgan with 14.8 seconds to go. And now the building begins to sense it. They are moving toward the floor.
5 minutes ago when I suggested this was possible, we've seen court stormings everywhere. 15 seconds from a court storming in University Park.
Sasha hits it. It's good. 84-78.
No fouls.
Burke up the floor. 10 seconds.
No threes.
40-foot three, Burke. It's no good. Rebound by Marshall. 7 seconds to go. That's it. The Nittany Lions have done it. They have knocked off fourth-ranked Michigan, and they storm the floor at the George Center, and justifiably so. Number four is gone.
Welcome to the Insane Asylum. Great to have you with us.
It was only right that you have one of those the next night. It's only fair.
There you go. Well, it is. It was a great night for Penn State and a great night for Patrick Chambers and his players to do what they did last night and what they accomplished last night. It was absolutely
an incredible win for them. I've had people say, oh, you must have been shocked. No, I had told people during the week, I said, they can play with this team. I just watched them play with this team. Simple as that sometimes. I mean, everything's about matchups. And athletically, I really like Michigan's starting lineup a lot. I do not like their bench. So, I mean, and what happened was the last 6.5 minutes of that game, Michigan did not score a basket. And do you realize that there was a point in that span where Penn State scored on 10 consecutive possessions?
I couldn't
and
believe
scored,
that.
And scored 25 points? On those 10 consecutive possessions, 2.5 points of possession. That is ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I just sat there in the car last night listening to the end of the game. I couldn't move.
Fortunately, it didn't go into overtime because if you had to go to the bathroom, that would have been a real problem.
Well, and let me tell you something. It was starting to get a little chilly. I had to run the car for a few minutes.
And I know how cheap you are when it comes to gas. So
no, I I'll tell you what. We talked about this yesterday in bringing it across, and you know we were kind of joking about it on the air a little bit, but that was. I felt the moment the entire time on it being, several miles away from the Bryce Jordan Center.
Well, it was a great moment. Look, they deserve it. They've been at this in the last 2 weeks. They have put themselves in a position. And I'll tell you the spot where they started to show a little bit of a little more. There was a point before the Iowa game out at Iowa City. Penn State had led for a grand total of 19 minutes and 42 seconds the entire Big Ten season before then. Then they started out the game, and they actually started out really well. They led. From that point on, they have played, except for the Nebraska game. The Nebraska game out at Lincoln was just a lousy game. It was close for a while, and all of a sudden, boom, Nebraska hit the accelerator, and just nothing happened. It was just nothing happened. Except for that game since the Iowa game out at Carver Hawkeye, this team's played well. They just have not been able to break through and win. Now, you have to have the ability to make winning plays at the end. Penn State made all the winning plays. And there was that one point where, the basketball gods enter into it and suddenly something happens where you sit there and say, oh, it can happen to them. And that was Trey Burke stealing the ball from DJ Newbill and then stumbling and then kicking the ball 50 feet out of bounds. That's one of the top five players in America right there. And one of the smoothest players I have seen in college basketball in recent memory, who makes a great play with lightning quick, cat quickness, makes the play, steals the ball. But, of course, it's awkward when he does it, but you expect him to gather himself, balance himself, get the dribble, go, and either lay it up or slam dunk. He does neither. He stumbles and kicks the ball, and the ball just goes out of bounds. And you're like, normally that's what Penn State's been doing. When you sense the openings there, and I'll say, oh, Michigan did not hit a basket the last 6.5 minutes of the game.
I heard you say that somewhere toward the end of the game or in the post game, and I just sat there. I'm like, wow, was it really that long?
Yes. 6.5 minutes, Michigan did not get a basket.
Wow.
The final 6.5 minutes. And as I told Ross Travis privately before I put him on, I said, look, I said, what should make you feel good about this game tonight is that you won it. They didn't lose it. I said, they didn't blow it. They didn't, you know, they didn't play down. They didn't do anything. I said, they played at a decently high level. They shot 52%, you know. I'm talking about Michigan. Michigan shot 52%. Michigan out-rebounded Penn State 37-30. But how often have I talked about the two lines being a determining factor?
The foul line and the three-point line?
Mm-hmm. Penn State scored 50 points in the game at the two lines. Michigan scored 24. It's the first game all season in the Big Ten where Penn State actually outscored a team from the free throw line, period. But at the two lines, Penn State had 50 points at the two lines. They were 10 of 20 in threes, which if you're going to pull an upset, that is the difference-making line of them all. And then they ended up executing well at the free throw line, and they knocked down 20 free throws. Okay? You go game after game after game. The two lines. You add up the two lines. You tell me what the winning percentage is in the two lines. And you just take Bucknell, pick five, the last five games.
Oh.
Okay? And I'm serious. So just go through. Just pick Bucknell last five games. Pick Penn State last five games. Pick Indiana the last five games. And tell me what the record is.
Tell you what the what is? Say it again.
What the record is. And I'm telling you, the vast majority of the time, I'm going to venture better than 80%, maybe close to 90%. Team that wins both lines in combination wins the game. It's today's game. Stauskas made a bad play on a backdoor by Newbill, where John Beilein just playing. I mean, but again, there is a youth on Michigan, people, and this is something I mentioned the other night when I was on John Beilein's show. I said, people forget sometimes, John, with your team, how young you are. Robinson is a freshman. Stauskas is a freshman. McGarry is a freshman. Burke is a sophomore, albeit an NBA sophomore. Hardaway's a junior. LeVert's a freshman. Albrecht's a freshman. They're young. They made some freshman mistakes last night in terms of assignments and so forth. One of the staples of John Beilein over the years is a 1-3-1 zone. He didn't go to it one time last night. Yet this is a team that I think, you know, because their issues defensively right now. I mean, Penn State scored 84 points on them, and Penn State was quicker, off the bounce, got that step, you name it. He has the length to play a really good 1-3-1. Because he has Robinson and Hardaway who can play the wings in the three spots. If you put them on the wings with their wingspan and length, you can throw a team off. And that's actually been a staple of John's for a long time, that 1-3-1. And they only used it twice again. No, they only used it once against Penn State and Ann Arbor. They didn't use it once last night. I was surprised. And he hasn't used it that often this season. It used to be a staple of what he was doing. Nope. Coming up in today's show, Kevin Herr will explain to us why they won't take our advice and they're going to play that game on Saturday.
No. I was a little disappointed, but, you know.
You know what? I don't like it, Kevin. I don't like it. You have a schedule. Stick to it. There's no difference between playing Friday and Saturday. I'm sorry. There is none. Unless there is a facility issue.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's the only thing I could think. My first thought was I really believe you'll get a better gate at the Friday game than a Saturday game with a lot of things going on. And as Bob Buehner said yesterday, wrestling as well. But, you know, hey, I got nothing else going on Saturday. I'll be there.
Buehner. Today, Dan Dockich, and we're going to have an add-on.
Oh, and then I get to ask the question that, you know, both Shikellamy and Penn State are thinking right now. Is there such a thing as a big game letdown? I'll ask you that question later.
Dick Girardi will join us on the show today as well. Okay? That's your add-on.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel, our good friend Rick Weibel, REW Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can always go online to REWfinancial.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilsers General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Always go online and check them out as well at www.hilsersstore.com. The Milton Shikellamy game will be Saturday night, not tomorrow night. People far, far smarter than us make decisions such as that.
Okay.
I'll get back. I'll have to get back to you.
You know,
I'll have to get back to you.
I, like I said, I had nothing going on Saturday anyway, so I'm all right.
I understand. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Steve Williams is a little bit disappointed, but, you know.
Yes, he is. Tonight, Patrick Chambers, 6 to 7, Damon's Clubhouse. I think we may have something to talk about.
Ooh, all Steve Jones back-to-back days on WKOK.
Now you're still angry at me about last night.
No. Why, what did I send you right after the game ended?
I hate you.
No, it's. I did not send that.
That's just.
I did not send that.
I found it to be brutal. I looked at Dick. Dick's his coworker. I said, "Yeah."
Well, former coworker is what you said.
No.
He used to be. No.
Well,
I believe I sent to you. See, it was your turn.
Yes, it was.
So there you go.
Dick Girardi, next half hour. Now we are joined by a guy I think just does a great job with ESPN. He'd been with the Big Ten Network, then transitioned over to ESPN, and he just tells it like it is, and I have just immense respect for him, Dan Dockich. Dan, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Yeah, it was very nice of you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Last night, of course, Penn State threw the upset into the apple cart last night. A lot of people thought Michigan had a chance of being a number one seed. You've watched this all the way through. What were your thoughts on last night's game?
Well, I think while coming, I mean, I said when I did a game out there, you know, a few weeks ago that Penn State, for getting beat and being winless, was the most enthusiastic together group that I think I'd seen in the league. And it really surprised me. Not last night, but it surprised me a couple weeks ago when I saw that. And then I saw them play Michigan, and I'm like, wait a second here. This team's not going away. They're going to get a few people. I did not necessarily think it would be Michigan, but I will say this. When you get the guard play that they got last night, and I was happy for the Newbill kid. You know, they came in, and you know, it was going to be him and Frazier, and, you know, obviously that didn't happen because Frazier gets hurt, but I was really happy for him. He played great. Against, you know, maybe the best backcourt in the country. But I'm telling you, man, it was like this was coming. And I'm not, it's not over. I mean, to me, you know, Sasha's playing great. I mean, he may be the most improved player in the league. I don't know what you guys think, but when I saw him in Porto, I mean, he was going to fall down if he went to make a post move. Now he's hitting baseline jumpers on the block, battling it. So I'm surprised it was Michigan because Michigan has so much to play for at this time of year. But I'm not surprised that they got somebody, particularly at home.
And I agree with you on Sasha Barovnia, because Sasha is, I think, just in 6 weeks is dramatically improved, just in way beyond Puerto Rico, but dramatically improved in 6 weeks. Now we flip it to the other side. Michigan, mentioned Dan, a lot to play for, and still does, obviously. They went 3-4 in February, and those four losses were on the road. What are you seeing in them and not seeing in them right now?
I think John B., in my opinion, when he was at West Virginia, was the most innovative college basketball coach in terms of offense. Like, I was still coaching at Bowling Green, started studying him. I'm like, man, this is good. This is great. And to be honest with you, I think they've gone away from it. I think they've gone to stuff that everybody else runs, you know, spread it out, set a ball screen for Trey Burke. And it was really good against Illinois. It was. Illinois never quite figured it out, didn't get anything from, you know, their two seniors. But being common to me wasn't John Beilein and Michigan's strength. Being uncommon to me, particularly offensively, was their strength. And you know, teams can play a ball screen. Teams figure it out during the course of a game, and that's what I'm seeing. I could be dead wrong, but I'm seeing a team that plays like everybody else, really good athlete, but is starting to play offensively like everybody else. And when you do, let me put it this way. State has played against what Michigan showed last night basically every game this year. Now, better players because Trey Burke's really good. Don't get me wrong. But used to be with John and his staff, man, they ran all this stuff, screen-to-screener action, counters to it. It was like, all right, you're hoping they miss. Now it's, okay, we'll just switch it or what's happening or whatever. We'll figure it out. So that's the thing I'm seeing. And that could be wrong, and people may criticize me, but I that's what I see.
You also see things, I think, away from the ball, and you understand the importance of certain individuals. When you did the Illinois game Sunday against Michigan, you pointed out the importance of a guy that had 1 point and six rebounds in Jordan Morgan. He actually is the veteran presence on a young team. He was a big reason why they beat Illinois. What can he mean just even as a fifth option, which you and I both know he's going to be, but what can he mean to help them in screener action and in rebounding?
Well, he's got to finish inside. I mean, he's not asked to do much. I'm saying strictly offensively. He's not asked to do much. They screen, roll, get to the rim. And when I say finish inside, I'm talking within 5 to 7 feet of the basket. It's almost like, let me think here. Stauskas gets out of practice, and he does three-point shooting. All right, that's great. But Morgan's got to become an absolute bear within 5 feet of the bucket, either getting fouled, making a basket, or both. And defensively, he's fantastic. I just think he's so good. He's so aware. He and Brusewitz, to me, are the two guys in the Big Ten that are just aware of everything going on. Morgan's not asked to do anything but that. So, you go to practice. What are you working on? Well, you better work on ball screen, roll, catch the ball at different angles, catch the ball over your head, at your feet, left, right, whatever, and finish. And because really, if you look at it with Michigan, when there's chaos, when things aren't going well, the three-point shot isn't going down, what are you going to do to slow it all down? And, well, what most teams do is they throw it on the block. Well, I go back to what I said about John Beilein. Used to be a guy like Hardaway. He would run him on the block. Well, they don't really do that anymore. So, you know, screen roll action is going to be important to get the ball on the block, but you got to finish. And if you don't, people don't respect it, and they stay tired of shooters, and it jams up what you're trying to really do, which is up on the three-point line.
I felt when I've looked at Minnesota over the years, the 21 years I've done Big Ten basketball, they really haven't had an emotional leader maybe since Bobby Jackson back in the late 90s. Trevor Mbakwe has always been a really good player, you know, inside presence. I saw emotion out of him Tuesday night. You were there. He was 20 feet in front of you. What did you see?
I saw right from the get-go a guy that had enough of Tyler or Cody Zeller. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a six-year senior. You're a sophomore. I've had enough of reading about you. I mean, that's really what I thought. Like, hey, Stu, sometimes it's just straight personal. You know what I mean? It's like, we're in the same league. I'm 107 years old. You're the first 5 pick in the draft. I'm going to show you right now that, hey, I'm here. Let's, you know. And the thing that I liked about Mbakwe was this. I don't know if it's real because it certainly hasn't been all year. But the thing I liked about him was he had to, and this is weird, he he had to come back into the game and perform at the level of Eliason because his play inspired Eliason. So Eliason comes in, gets a few buckets, starts waving his arms. And now Mbakwe was up on the bench waving towels and stuff. And when he came back in, you know, he had the same energy level. It never left. And a lot of times it leaves. You know, like, yeah. All right, I'm going to play for 5, 10, 15 minutes. I'm going to play for the first half. And then it leaves. It goes away. It never went away. I'm telling you, man, it was personal. It was like, hey, okay, first rounder. Okay, first five draft choice. Get a little bit of this. And it never stopped. It was awesome. I mean, straight awesome that whole game. It was so much fun.
And not only that, it was physical. And Indiana's lost four games this year. And in the four games, I think it's safe to say they've all been physical. Indiana's an outstanding team, but there's no perfect team in this country. When you punch them in the mouth, how does Indiana react?
Great question. I've said this, man. Butler, I was there. I didn't do the game. We did the second game, and Butler had chances to go away. You know, down six, Indiana's got the ball. Well, they never did. They kept punching and beat them. Wisconsin just came in and beat them. I mean, I did that game. They just came in and beat them. Illinois didn't go away. They had a chance to. Down 13, 14, whatever it was in the second half, they had a chance to go away, but they never would. So, and then Minnesota had a chance to go away too and never did. That's the one thing with Indiana. If you keep after them, if you don't let a spurt get you, you know, where all of a sudden, you know, they're up six, next thing you know, it's 14, and you got to question yourself. Teams that have beaten them haven't questioned themselves. They've stayed with what they plan to do. Teams that have lost to them have gone away. And, a six-point deficit becomes a 12-point deficit, becomes a 20-point deficit. It's going to be interesting because when you get in the tournament, I don't care if you're playing a team from the MAC, the MIAC, wherever, they're good teams now, and they're not going to go away. They're confident teams in the tournament. So that's going to be very – I think Indiana's the best team in the country. I think when Christian Watford plays at a high level, they're a national championship team. But they've also shown a few times you punch them, they'll head south a little bit. That ain't good.
I know that 2 years ago, Penn State beat Indiana with Watford and Oladipo and Halls three times in the same year. They get Zeller. Things change. But if you have to pick a most improved, when you watch Victor Oladipo at both ends of the floor, from a coach's point of view, Dan, what does he bring to the table that changes the tone of everything?
Well, let me go back. When Indiana, after 08, when Sampson and the fellas did their thing, the culture was awful. And Oladipo and Sheehy, when they were recruited, and Jordan Halls, they changed the entire culture of Indiana basketball. They're in the gym all the time, not at the club. I mean, that's a huge difference. Because 08, these clowns, they didn't even want to see the gym. They wanted to see the, you know, the bars and stuff. And so these guys changed the culture. And this year, and I think people... Last year, Oladipo was really good by the end of the year, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did was he stayed in the gym all summer long. Like, the kid doesn't do anything but study and play basketball, and that's legitimate. That is it. So he's improved his shot, but more than anything, he's improved his mind. He's in the film room all the time learning about basketball because he's not a kid that necessarily grew up with it. I mean, it became him in high school. But so, you know, you talk to Crane and you talk to the assistants, man, he's in the film room all the time, just wants to watch the nuances of different players, whether it's NBA guys. And I think his mind is where he's improved the most. And you know this. I mean, when you get a lot of success, team and individual, you get confident. And I think that's helped him. But he guards the best player on one end. He makes shots on the other. He takes the ball to the rim. He makes big plays, tip-ins, things like he's been, in my opinion, he's been the player of the year in the league.
You had mentioned earlier how the loss of Frazier with Penn State. Wisconsin lost Josh Gosser. So suddenly a fulcrum for them is gone. That Bo has done with, you know, they have veterans, Berggren, Drewsowitz, and so forth. But the job he's done with that group to put them now in the mix where down the end they have a chance still to win the regular season. Your thoughts?
Didn't you laugh seriously when you saw the preseason polls, whether it's fifth or sixth?
Yes.
You know, they're never fifth or sixth.
I know.
I don't care. You know, I'm fat, bald, and ridiculous. And you and me and the lady I'm walking in with the dry cleaning right now and everybody else could come in, if he's coaching us, first, second, or third in the Big Ten. It's just what they do.
We'd have a shot.
I know. If we would listen, I'd be uncoachable. I don't know about you.
No, yeah, I'd be the same as you, yeah.
Yeah, we'd be more worried about, you know, getting out at night and stuff like that. So we would have a problem. But I'm telling you, like, hey, Trayvon Jackson, people talk about Oladipo, and they should. But Trayvon Jackson coming in and taking the place of Gosser and last year Jordan Taylor, I mean, this guy's been – maybe the most improved player in the league. He did nothing last year, nothing. And now he's running the team. He doesn't always make the best decisions. But what he does, he makes the cocky decisions, which endears you to your team. Like, he makes the decision, like, I don't care, I'm going to shoot. I mean, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to, but I don't care. He's got a lot of his dad in him. He wants the ball late. And he's been terrific. But more than that, Bo just does what he does. And everybody, you know, while there's chaos all around the league, they just quietly win. Next thing you know, they're first, second, third. They have the tie break for the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament if they can figure some things out. One tough game left at Michigan State, so we'll see.
Couple more questions, then I'll let you go. One is, one of the maddening things to watch this year has been the soccer mentality of flops on block charge. What do they need to do in the offseason to sit down, talk about this, and clean it up? Because they can't do it like the NBA. They can't find guys. So how can they clean it up?
You know, it's two ways. And this is, you know, I don't know if they can, number one, without doing something, you know, calling fouls, stuff like that. The other way, and this is the way, you know, college should be done. Now, I'm just telling you, you know, it's supposed to be education on it. You sit down with your head of officials who comes in and gives you a talk and say, look, don't put us in a bad spot. And you teach them, look, this is a flop. You know what a flop is. And this is what isn't. And let's not do that. Let's not, you know, teach them what we want. And I would say, all right, we're going to do that through half the year. We're going to watch you in the non-conference season. And each league does this. We're going to teach you. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. If we see excess flopping, then understand it's going to be a technical foul, and you're going to hurt your team. Now, you get hit. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, that's part of basketball, taking a charge or avoiding a charge. But I would like to see us, instead of react, like you mentioned, fining, you can't do that, but, it, you know, technicals right off the bat, educate, discuss, sit down with, and then trial basis, first half of the year. We're only watching our league. We're only watching the Big Ten or the Big East or whatever. And we're watching every game, if it's excessive. And then before we go into the conference season, we make another big point of it. And we do it that way for a year or so and then see where it comes out.
In anything you do, you learn, obviously, and you adapt over time. As a player, you did that and you learned from the best. As a coach, you did that. You learned again from the best. Now you're in this profession of television. Are you a little bit different now just through experience over the last couple of years? And where are those changes, even if they are subtle?
Oh, I'm more of a human being now. I wasn't even a human being when I was coach. I was a maniac. I mean, I, like, even Bruce Pearl told the guys at ESPN, like, Doncic is the greatest guy, but, like, everybody in coaching thought he was completely nuts. Like, what's happened to him? You know, you grow up a little bit. You see things in a different manner. You feel for kids a little more when you're not coaching them and you're not so involved in it. So I do think this, you know, two things. And from a broadcast side, ESPN has been ridiculous with me. I mean, they pair me with Mike Tirico or Dave O'Brien, or the greatest guy. We got the greatest games. And you know, I didn't have any experience in it. I just, you know, got fired at Indiana. I started a radio show. Next thing you know, there I am. And then the basketball side, I really believe if I ever went back to coaching, I would make it so much more fun for everybody around me than I made it the first time. I'd be a much better coach and a much better guy with players. Just because you get a chance to see so much in this job. You know that. You get to go see a shoot around of different players or different coaches. You get to see how coaches handle their teams, their timeouts, their on-the-floor stuff. It's been so interesting. And more than that, for me personally, it's been the most fun I've ever had in my life.
You're great at it, and I appreciate the time you gave us today, and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Anytime you need anything, let me know. Let's do it again.
Dan Doncic from ESPN. Next half hour, Dick Girardi, his take. as we continue. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Humbles Wharf, and the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. More size game. By the way, Bucknell, congratulations, outright Patriot League champions. And they've done it. Remarkable. No seed over Patriot League tournament. They win it. They'll end up being probably a 13 seed, which would mean they would get a 4. And I'll be frank with you, Bucknell got to get there first. But if they get there, they can. They, I think they will do damage. That is a good, cohesive basketball team. There are not many basketballs as cohesive as Bucknell. The Nittany Lions won last night. They beat Michigan. Dick Girardi in the house. His take on what he saw, as only he can say it. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.